Charlotte Corn Barrett, welcome to the School of Sales podcast. I'm so honored to be with you today.
Oh my goodness, Kat, thanks for having me. I just don't even know if the people are ready to experience this energy with me and you in the same room, girlfriend.
It's fun. It's fun. So I want to give everyone context into who Charlotte is to me, and then she'll tell you who she is in her grander scheme of life. But the irony of mine and Charlotte's relationship is that, well, she's a newly graduated sales girl from School of Sales. But 2 years ago, I was a newly postpartum mom of two, and I was in a very low spot. I was not feeling too good about myself. And I texted a stranger on the Instagram and I said, "Hey, I think I need to come to Texas and I want you to be my stylist." Because Charla, one of her gifts is being a stylist. So she said, "Let's go. Come on out here," to me, a total stranger. And so I flew across the country from Atlanta to Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, left the baby at home in safe hands. That is how bad I wanted to work with Charla specifically. I was gone for less than 24 hours. All this inconvenience to work with this one person. And I kind of think that that is my people's dream, is that people would cross heaven and earth, that they would work with them. But I'm gonna be honest, I don't think most people think that's possible. So I'm excited to dive into why I wanted to do that. So the even more ironic part is that Charla never had to sell me with her words. Again, I reached out to her. I said, "Can I please fly across the country to work with you?" Because I knew that she was good at what she did, and I just wanted it. And again, what a dream to have clients who just want to pay you and fly to you and all that stuff. And so I think that this is where the story is going to get really good, because I think a trap a lot of people can fall into is that when they know that they're good at what they do and they even enjoy doing it so much that the enthusiasm overflows, it can be, that's it. Well, if I'm good at it and people like me, then I don't need to know how to sell or anything. And it's just ironic that that's how I bought from you. But I would love to hear your take on that and just a little bit more about your background as a businesswoman, selling everything. Tell us what's going on with you.
Well, girl, I have been selling since I spotted that Barbie that I wanted in the department store. And I was selling my mom. I'm a third child out of four. And so if you know anything about a third child, we don't get any attention. And so I was selling myself up on the coffee table, going, "Look at me, look at me." So I feel like I've been selling since the day that I was born. I mean, a history of selling, there really isn't one there because I grew up on stage as a singer and a songwriter and a musician. And so I was selling myself to judges in every talent show that there ever was, right? I was selling myself to college professors to earn a scholarship at a music school. And when I lived in Nashville, I was selling myself to record executives and club owners. So I feel like I have just grown up selling myself. And then when I moved back to Texas, I was selling myself, to the audience. And I would jump off stage and sell them merchandise like CDs and t-shirts and, hats and signed posters. And I even sold myself so much because I would jump in my car and drive all over Texas and sell myself to all the local radio stations to get them to spin my music, So I was like trying to persuade these radio programmers. But I persuaded myself so much and sold myself so much to one radio station. They actually hired me as an on-air personality where I worked for 7 years and did a morning show for 5 years. So my history of selling is nothing that is textbook. It's all from like life experience.
So people would look at you and say, if there were such thing as a natural born salesperson, it is Charla Corn Barrett. Period.
Well, yes, and I have somehow built multiple million-dollar businesses, on, just having that skill of like likability and charisma and you know, persuading them, but I really didn't know like the true technique behind how to actually sell someone.
Okay, that's a really interesting. So let's talk about that. What even, you know, you after we worked together, I just loved you being my stylist. We ended up flying you out here to be Macy and Court and the team, doing their style, becoming our stylist all over here. And so we have a history now, and that was 2 years ago. Crazy enough. So what made you feel after all this time of like knowing each other and even just knowing how to sell and being successful at it, what made you feel like learning sales skills was even something that you remotely needed after making money and feeling successful?
Well, I think the misconception and like the stigma around being like a salesperson, that's what really kept me from really digging in to this like art of persuasion, especially like in the direct selling world, which I, you know, I've got 10 years experience in that, is that, you know, you always hear like, you don't have to be a salesperson. These products are going to sell themselves. And that totally may have been true like 12 years ago, but the landscape, as we all know, has completely changed. And with social media and algorithms and the influx of the sheer number of people sharing this like beauty space, you can no longer just simply make a post or send a message, you know, or present and expect sales to just like magically appear. And they did for a while, right? But like with the landscape slowly changing, it was like, oh no, I'm going to have to really learn this skill. So I have never lacked, you know, the drive or the enthusiasm, or the audience for that matter, but I found myself like pouring in and like building the strong audience where like everyone was loving my content and I was, you know, creating all these reels and posts and everything. And it was getting me a lot of likes and comments and shares, but all of those were not turning into actual dollars. Right. And so that high achieving woman mentality, and that I've always just been a natural salesperson vibe, it was losing that luster. And I knew that I needed to invest in my skill set, and really build that sales muscle that was really beginning to turn into a noodle that was just being thrown at the wall, right?
Wow, that is so interesting. You would really just assume that someone who is magnetic and attractive would turn into sales, but you were not finding that to be true. You were finding the audience and the engagement, but that was not translating into people buying. Why do you think that is?
I mean, I have a lot of fun creating content, right? And so I was pouring more into, ooh, this looks really pretty, and that's a really fun transition in a reel, instead of thinking about who's actually watching this that would actually buy and that I could actually add value to their life. It was more of like an entertainment, you know, entertainment aspect for me. And I was having a lot of fun doing it, but I was like, wait a second, why is my income going down and my work like output is going up? It just didn't make sense. So I knew I needed to like, give me a lifeline. And because I had been introduced to you, because you'd reached out to me, and I had also, you know, you guys started to get on my radar more. I started listening to your podcast, and I would reach out to other people that had gone through the School of Sales and watch their success and hear their feedback. And I just knew that that was the next move I needed to do if I wanted to see my numbers start to go up again.
That is something that I think will really help someone feel seen, is that they're putting out so much more input for less output, which is like the opposite of leverage, right? Where we live in this world and you can do less and get more and all this stuff. And that can be true when you have a skill set that you can leverage to make your life easier. So I'm excited to hear what you have learned. Can you tell me like maybe a story about a time that you noticed the framework you did learn in conversations and how that changed the game for you?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I noticed was how little talking that I needed to actually do within a conversation itself about whatever product I was selling or a service. So I didn't need to know this, like some scripted sales pitch or like the right words to go in for the close, you know? And I really just began to listen and see that what I had to offer, it really was a good fit for them. But instead of like over talking and hijacking the conversation and sabotaging the sale, that's where it really clicked for me that like, oh no, like listening is a huge aspect of the sales process. And without listening, I can't sell them anything. I can't help them get to what they need at all. So, I mean, I've jumped on the phone and had more in-person conversations in the last 2 months than I've had in the last 3 years of business.
Wow. You've told me some good stories. Can you tell one where you felt like, wow, I just got almost like I like to say the answers to the test, but sometimes it's like the key to their heart. Like they literally tell you, here's the key. I'm the door. If you want to just grab it out of my hand, but sometimes we don't even listen or look for it. I feel like you've had a lot of those awesome conversations.
Well, and I've had so many, but like, I think the misconception or the myth is that we just assume why people want to buy our product, because that's why we wanted to buy our product, or we know how life-changing it is. But it saved me so much breath and energy when I can just be like, Kat, tell me why you want me to be your stylist. What do you want? What do you want to take out of this? Like, what are your top three things that you want to know when you walk out the door? That way, give you all of this stuff that's overwhelming that you didn't need to know. Mm-hmm. I can give you those three things and be sure that you leave 100% confident and can go implement those tomorrow without overwhelming you with all these other things that I feel like you should probably know that would make your life better. But really, you just need to know those three, and that's what was important to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sales is so wild because you do what you do because you love it and you love people. Right. And then when you start to sell, you realize that you have to die to why you love it. And that just like becomes the fuel for like, what a beautiful question you just asked. Like I bought from you and I love that you asked me that. I love it. I literally want to tell you about myself. I want to tell you everything I have going on, so that you can make my life glorious. And it sounds so easy to do, but it's also really easy not to do because our brains are selfish. Our brains want to think and talk about ourselves. Have you felt that? Like constant, I don't know what the word is, like conditioning or reminding. Like, okay.
Well, it's rewiring your brain is what it is, because we are selfish. We want to talk about ourselves. And I even came from, you know, sales training that says, get people on the phone and tell them your story, what this business has done for you, what you've been able to do with this business, how you've been able to adopt children and start charities and, you know, travel the world. You have to rewire your brain completely, because it's not about me and painting the picture on what this has done for my life. It's painting the picture about what this could do for your life and getting rid of the I. It's all about you. And you know, that's been the biggest thing. And I love it so much. I go back and look at old content and I hear I. And man, I thought that was some killer content, but I just wish I could go back and be like, skirt over here, and let's make it all about the client instead of how great these products have been for me personally.
Right. And it's so,
because the thing I realize is that while the product or service may deliver the same results, what people want, what they want their result to be, is enormously different between each person. And that was the biggest thing that has been the aha moment with School of Sales.
Wow. Wow. It like you said, when the product is a predictable result, but that result means something and looks different to every single person. I like to call that concept, all roads lead to Rome. And there's millions of roads. And you have to ask somebody, what road do you want to go down? What is the road that's going to get you to Rome? Right. That's right. So interesting.
Because I took one and it got me there. But what, yeah. What road do you want to go? I love it.
Wow. It's so interesting. And this is why we tell people, you're talking about content. So I want to touch on this. This is why we tell people, even if, especially if you want to sell in your content, still get into conversations. Because guess what? Someone is going to illuminate a road for you. You're going to hear a new idea, a new pathway that, oh, having a stylist, it doesn't just mean that you can know what gala dress to buy. You can also know what athleisure to buy. So you're really excited to take your kid into pre-K, you know, like there's so many paths that you can lead down, but when people tell you them, they're going to give you a unique perspective that you can then leverage and share. So one conversation could turn into 10 sales. Like that. Have you noticed that? That like how you can have a conversation and make better content?
Oh, every conversation, I've turned it into content almost. I'm like, oh, this would resonate so much with like my stay-at-home moms, or oh, this would resonate so much with the busy mom that is also trying to run a business and drop kids off at school. Like it just, every conversation gives me more ideas on content.
Yeah. And so the alternative to that, to talking to somebody to get the idea, is that you pull it out of your own head, right? In your own experience and my, you know, our individual salesperson own experience. And that is only one dimensional. I mean, I know that we're all multidimensional, but that's just the same predictable line of thought, whereas someone else just has such a great way of saying things, you know, and they love to talk. So if you've ever been nervous, I'm afraid that I'm going to sound nosy if I ask. Have you found that? People think you're nosy. How do people respond to you asking beautiful questions like you just asked me?
Well, I think that's what I was afraid of going into school of sales. I was like, oh my gosh, is my family like not going to trust me? Am I going to sound salesy? Like, I don't know what this misconception I had going on in my mind before taking the course was, but I was almost like a little bit scared that I was going to be duping people, where in fact, it's made me more interested, go digging with more curiosity and letting people tell their story, and even hearing my kids out more. And still like, what do you need out of this? What do you need out of your day? Like, how can I help you get there? And just, it's a beautiful thing, especially coming from someone that's in radio, loves creating content, loves talking. But I feel like I've had even more authentic conversations because of going through this process.
Gosh, you're almost like a wild stallion, a beautiful wild stallion that has been, that is, I don't know what is the word? Bridled is not the word. I don't know what the word is, but you're, you know, that those movies where the horse gets ridden and people can now like understand all the power that you really have. So cool.
I'm a tamed stallion that knows what to do with my talent.
Yes. Yes. So what advice would you give someone who is making sales? They don't even want to slow down to think about another way because they are high output. High input. And they feel like they can't even risk slowing down that process for a conversation of all things. What would you tell them?
So I feel like having conversations is exactly it, and being on the listening end. Because when I went through school of sales, again, like I said, I thought I was going to learn this magical script or some perfect formula on the right words to say, or in fact, like being on the listening end on the conversation is really where the magic happens. And you know, you may be like me, you know, you don't lack the enthusiasm, you don't lack the product knowledge, because boy, do we know our stuff backwards and forward, right? But before School of Sales, I couldn't understand why others didn't recognize like the value of my service and like, this is going to change your life. And so that's the biggest thing, is how to navigate a conversation quicker to that end result that they do want.
So good. So you have found that you've not only been able to do it like the right way, but it has been efficient for you.
Oh, completely. Like I can get, like I said, I was sabotaging conversations. I was over talking. I'm on the phone with someone. We don't get anywhere. Or now I can get right to what they want. I need like your three things that you want out of this. I can get you there.
So you sell,
it's a lot more streamlined.
That's amazing. Amazing. So, and that's what a framework does. You sold a lot of things, you sell a lot of things, but one of the things that you are most proud of is your lifestylist program, membership, consultation service, that you are their go-to stylist. And that's $1,000. Is that right? I know it's a range, but it's a high ticket item.
Yeah, it's a high ticket item. And that's why I feel like before School of Sales, I had that attitude like, ooh, I don't know. I mean, this is pretty high dollar. And now I'm like, oh my goodness. Like I build the value up so much and pre-qualify my prospective clients so much that when they do get on the phone, I just find out whether this is a good fit for them. Because the value is there now, instead of me like, oh, why do you not understand? Like, why wouldn't you pay this? You know?
Yeah.
But now I think it's inexpensive compared to what you get on the end of it, other end of it.
So you had thoughts in your own head that your service was kind of pricey?
Yeah. I mean, even when I first went to like a stylist, right, to get my style and everything done, I was like, at that time, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so expensive. Like, should I ask my husband? Is this like okay to spend this amount? But the value that I've gotten out of it, and now I'm able to communicate that and build the value around the products that I offer, because it's not just style and color. It is from head to toe. I want to elevate your image, from your hair to your skin to your colors to your style to the way that you speak to people and your charisma that's coming across on camera. And so the value is so strong in my own mind. I feel like everyone needs this. And it should cost more.
It's so interesting how, you're so confident, you believe, you're right. It's like a no-brainer, yet learning how to sell actually made you believe more. It's almost like you've developed this deeper, like three-dimensional belief that you thought you had, but you actually didn't. Does that sound right?
Well, okay. So this is a recent like realization that me and my best friend Hannah came to, is that I am a builder of planes in the air type of a person. Okay. Like I always have been. I've always like seen the big picture and I just make it happen. Right. I am probably dyslexic, always have been. But the cool thing is, and you just said it, is that people with dyslexia, we see things in this very three-dimensional way. And so we just go do it. But like the problem with that is that I didn't go to engineering school. I don't know how to build the plane. And so I don't know how to tell someone to go to from point A to point B to get them in the plane. I'm just like, buckle up, baby, jump in, let's go. Like this plane is flying and I'm leaving whether you're coming or not. But I feel like what School of Sales has done is it has, that plane that I've been flying my whole life, it's given me the tactical skills to go back and go, okay, you know, this is how it's built. And now this is why you want to buckle up and get in the plane with me, because we're going places, you know?
It feels like a true personal invitation. You know, people talk about invitations and that's what that feels like to me.
Yeah. Are you ready? You get in the plane, buckle up, let's go.
It's beautiful. And even your tone turned to compassionate and curious and motherly, you know, not that we mother our prospects, but in a way we love them, you know, we have that tender love to help them. And so I could just tell the way you communicated that invitation. It just felt that way.
Well, I do. I feel like I've always had this like heart to serve people.
Yep.
But I have also, I'm all very driven, right? And I'm like, dude, just get in the plane and buckle up. But now it's not, that's not my tone anymore, because that doesn't serve anyone, me or my clients. Or now it's like, oh man, when you get in this plane, it's going to be good.
Right. Gosh, it's so interesting. And the high achieving female entrepreneurs out there who are listening and that we speak to so often, you see it, you feel it. It's a part of your DNA to just go after that result. And I think what that can generate, I know in myself, especially in the past, maybe for you too, is a little impatience. We're a little bit more impatient with people than we wish we were. And that could come across in any way, through a conversation, through content, through the way that objections are handled. Maybe objections are completely ignored because I don't have time for you. I don't have time for a thought like that. That's ridiculous. But the compassion that comes from, no, I understand. I get how to handle this. It's no big deal. And not only can I handle this conversation, but I'll get there faster than I would have on excitement alone. I don't know what metaphor that represents, but the plain one is doing it for me. Does that resonate with you as a high achiever?
Oh, it totally does. Because I'm like, if you don't buy, the next person will. Like, that used to be my attitude. Instead of really walking someone through the whole process and really helping and serving them on like totally next level. And I feel like there's been a lot of people I've thrown out of the plane without a parachute in my, you know, over the years. And I wish I would have known these skills earlier. And I wish my ego would have gotten out of the way earlier. Because 2 years ago when I did, you know, fly to do the whole guide culture office and, you know, elevate your images, I even remember you guys asking, like, have you ever thought about doing School of Sales? And that was my answer, was like, my ears were closed off to it. And I'm like, I'm a natural salesperson. Like, I'm going to sell regardless of your training, which is terrible. But, and it took me a long time for you guys. You were just dripping on me. And I'm, the timing was, it was how it needed to be. And I 100%. Needed to go through that process. But 100%. Boy, I would have saved myself a lot of aches and pains.
You know, and sometimes the aches and pains give such context to what was wrong. You know, it's like, well, if I never flew the plane poorly, I don't know how it feels to fly it right. So it's kind of a cool perspective that you have now, especially raising beautiful children who, you know, we want to help them do life better. So I love it so much. I love it so much. So you said before that you felt like you were doing so much input with less output. Has that changed for you since, from a financial standpoint?
Oh, I mean, 1,000%. I mean, it is just, to give another analogy, I just feel like School of Sales is like WD-40 on your squeaky bike, you know, that like, sure, you grew up knowing how to like ride a bike. But guess what? Without like proper maintenance, that chain is going to get old and it's going to get rusty and it's going to start to slip, and the tires, they're going to get low and they're going to need to be replaced, and the brake pads are going to get worn down. But like, School of Sales is like servicing your bike and getting it in working like proper order so that beautiful morning ride can be enjoyable again. And so I think with me, I was like, I was making an income, I was grinding, you know, like they say, but I kind of started to like lose the joy or like fun again, or fun, but like, this has kind of reinvigorated that again. It's been like the WD-40 to my squeaky bike that wasn't getting us anywhere. And now I feel like it's fun again. And like, money is coming in such like an authentic, joyful way that it's just boosted. It's boosted everything. And you may have that like charisma and the it factor and just be like a natural salesperson, but even someone that's a natural needs that continued education and continuous growth.
Yeah. Gosh. Amen. So well said. So without further ado, I need to know from you, is being a sales girl different being a salesperson?
Yes, girl, us sales girl are going to run the world. Like, these are my people, the sales girl that you guys are like building and sculpting. Those are the ones that I want to work with. Those are the ones that I want to cheerlead behind. Like, I just want to be their cheerleader. I want them to be my cheerleader. Those are the girls that I want to buy from, because, you know, we can all think about those conversations that we've had, or like last time you like bought something that was like a high ticket item. You know, when it felt very natural from a salesperson, and then you know where it was very clunky, right? And I feel like with sales girls, it's not like that clunky. They guide you. They persuade you for good. You guys say all the right language, but it is true. And I feel like the sales girl, I'm proud to be one.
That's awesome. And you know, we see sales girl how you see style, which is a head to toe, inside out. This is a whole person game. This is not just a words you say game. And you did a really good job demonstrating your heart for the whole process. It's so much more than any script I could have ever given you. And I'm glad I didn't, because you bring the Charla, just like the Jamies bring the Jamie and the Macy's bring the Macy, and you get to be you while promoting the value that you have. And that is what makes you a sales girl.
Well, I love it. And y'all, a sales girl, that's my people. I've never been one to not put on makeup or not put on my lipstick or just stay in my PJs all day. No, I've been one to get dressed, put on my face, and let's go tackle the world. And so it's so cool that there's this whole army of sales girls that are coming along too.
It is. So coming up really, really soon, we haven't even talked about this very much, but it is the last time for all of history that School of Sales will be offered the way that it is, at the price that it is, like forever, this last quarter of the year. And there's not unlimited spots, because we are a high touch program, as you know. So what would you tell someone who, you know, they feel pulled, like genuine, like not FOMO, but pulled the way that you did? What would you tell them as this opportunity approaches?
Well, I remember when I was kind of right there, I wasn't on the fence. I had already sold myself. You know, as high achieving women, we sell ourselves. But I remember jumping on the phone with you and Macy was like, "Charla, you're going to waste so much time on just like the curiosity and like just the unknown, where you could just come in and just start making money." Right? Like, I remember that, like, I was so curious. It was eating me up inside. I was spending so much energy on, should I do this or should I not? Like, don't I have the skills, but they need to be refined? And I would just say, do it. You're going to make your money back within the first month. Like, I had a check written to me yesterday that if I didn't even make anything until that point, a check I got yesterday would have paid for the entire course. Wow. And more money has come in since I started that. But I'm just making that illustration that you have the power to make the kind of sale that is going to pay for this entire course in one sale. Like, you're going to learn the skills to be able to do that. And I'm proud that I know that. And it's not icky and it's not salesy, like your misconceptions that you may be thinking. You're going to learn a skill set that's going to, it's going to pour into every aspect of your life. And I can't say it again. I mean, I'm so proud to be a sales girl, and I'm glad you guys were patient with me.
Hey, persuasion is a process, not an event. It is
That's right.
A long game for the people that we love. We have a saying that we've been saying this year: we do everything for God and the one girly who needs it.
Oh, that's so true. And I've had a couple of best friends like go through this too. And I even enjoy being around them even more now. Like, I loved them before, but like, this has just changed everything about them. And I'm like, ooh, I even like being around them for longer periods of time now. Like, everyone needs to go through this.
It's amazing, isn't it? Charla, thank you so much. You are in a breath of fresh air in every room you walk in, and to be able to elevate your life in any way is an honor. And we just love you and are so proud of you.
I love you guys. I'm proud to be in the inner circle here. And y'all are doing You're doing life's work here, and you can tell it. I can feel it.
Thank you.